Amen. My beloved, I think this is probably a true statement. Most of us want to live a prosperous life. Mm-hmm. Is that true of you? Would you like to do well in life before it's all said and done?
Yeah.
And one, living a life where all of your needs are met, all of your bills are paid, and you got some money left over after all of that. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Live a prosperous life. And I agree that prosperity is something to desire. Who doesn't want to be prosperous? Who doesn't want to have good health and feel comfort in the niceties of life? Who wouldn't want that, right? But I'm here to tell you that we find ourselves, some of us, trying to find the shortcut to prosperity.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to get there in ways that may not be according to God's will, because we want to prosper. And some folks are going to jail because they're cutting corners, right? And some people don't get caught, and so they might live their whole life just skirting the law. But for the rest of us, we try to find the path that is the right path to follow if you want to get prosperity. So I'm going to, today's message, talk to you about the best path to prosperity. The best path. You don't have to wander and go all around the corner and down the street to try to find how to get to a prosperous life. Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to be able to take the shortcut and go past use the bypass to get to where you want to go? Amen? So turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, one of the books that the pastor has taught for us here in this congregation. Book of Jeremiah, and I want you to go to that first chapter, Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'll be reading for your hearing under the King James Version translation. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Can't you find that? Those of you that are online, we ask that you get your Bibles out too. Go ahead and open to that place in the Bible. If you don't know where it is, go to the table of contents. That's a good path to take. And then look up where it is and go there, because we're going to speak from a couple passages in that book. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, you'll find these words recorded in the King James Version translation. This is God speaking. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee prophet unto the nation." Now I want you to flip forward to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we read, God speaking again, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give you an expected what?
End.
To give you an expected end." My beloved, the title of today's message is simply Best Path to Prosperity.
Amen.
Best Path. Let us pray. First of God Almighty, we thank you for visiting with us in the temple and online to help us experience peace. Lord, we ask that as we have come to the time of preaching to take place, that you would take the preacher that's standing before the sacred desk and diminish me, God, so that what comes forward is you speaking to the people. Use me as your oracle, as you see fit. Let not my words and my abilities block what it is you're trying to accomplish on this day. Speak to the hearts, oh God. Open their ears to hear. Make their hearts receptive. And then, God, whisper into their spirit the things you would have them to carry forth in the coming weeks. We ask this, God, in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
My beloved, today's verses are from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in the first chapter, is told by God that he knew him before he was in the womb. But notice he didn't say, "I know you," but "I knew you," past tense. Long before Jeremiah was, God knew. Let me say that again. Long before Jeremiah was, God knew. Predestined Jeremiah. God knew him. It implies a foreknowledge. So, yes, God knew such things in advance, but how did God know this in advance? I think that might be an appropriate question to ask. For some of us, we just say, well, he's God. God knows everything. He's omniscient. But the Bible tells us that before he began, he already decided what the end would be. Before he began creation, he had already figured out how he wanted it to come to pass. Yeah, he knew Jeremiah long before Jeremiah was born, because God is all-knowing. Now, let's make this personal. God knows everyone before birth. Yes, you and you and you and me, before we were born, God already knew us. Well, I'm starting to feel a little bit of concern, because if God knew me before I was born, he knew all of my missteps before they happened. He knew every time I got angry and I cursed. He knew every time I went against his commandments. He knew all of that before, yet he still accepted me as his child. He still grants me salvation, but he knew me. Yes, my beloved, God knows all of that. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. God knows next year, this same day of the month, what you're going to do. God knows 10 years from now whether you're even going to be here or not. God knew us too. Now, in the case of Jeremiah, God has commissioned Jeremiah for a very special purpose. The children of Israel have rebelled against God. They've gone after other gods, and they denied the relationship that they once had with God. They rebelled against the covenant that God had created with them. God used Jeremiah to send a warning to the people, to let them know that he was displeased with their action and that they needed to repent. Now, you know, Jeremiah wasn't thought very highly of, because all the other prophets were telling the people how much God's going to bless them. And Jeremiah said, no, God's going to curse you because you're going into captivity. People did not want to hear the truth. Kind of sound like today. People don't want to hear the truth. They rather go and follow a lie because it's comfortable. It feels better. It feels right. But, my beloved, when it comes to what God says, it doesn't matter how we feel, how we look at things. What God says will come to pass. Am I right about it? His word does not go out and return to void, except it accomplishes everything God sent it out to do. Yes, God was not pleased with the children of Israel, and he sent the prophet Jeremiah to go forth and to tell the people about themselves and what the punishment would be for the rebellion. But when you read, though, in that first chapter, you find out that Jeremiah is a little bit apprehensive. He's like, I speak as a child. I can't do this. And God said, don't call yourself a child. So God put his hand on Jeremiah's mouth, and he put words in his mouth for what to speak. And Jeremiah, he told him to stand up. Because he is commissioned by God. Don't be afraid of their faces, God tells them.
All right.
So, we were to make this personal. Are there times we were invited by God to say something to a family member because we were afraid of how they might take it? Afraid of their faces of some sort? God is saying to Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Speak on my behalf. Father, Lord, we have the same responsibility today as witnesses of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We must speak, because if we don't speak, who will? Will the heathen speak for God? Would they lift up Jesus Christ? So those that say that we believe in God, that follow God, it is the onus is on us to be used by God, to speak for God, operate on his behalf. Now, I can understand Jeremiah's apprehension because, my beloved, I was there. I tell the truth. When I got my confirmation that God was calling me into the ministry, it scared me half to death. Call a wise person in my life, call mom. Daughter of a Baptist pastor that read the Bible from cover to cover, that would give me some guidance on this fear thing I was wrestling with. So I told her, I said, Mom, I believe God's confirmed me to be a minister, but I'm afraid, to be honest. What you scared of? Mom, I'm afraid that because I haven't had enough time with my own life, I'm going to help somebody with their life. I'm going to do that. She laughed and she says, uncontrollable. I'm like, Mom, no, this is serious. She's still laughing. She says, Son, don't you know it's not you doing it? It's him doing it through you.
Amen.
When she said that, the Lord lifted off of me and I felt more comfortable in the call. And I stepped into that with all the urgency needed because that burden, that fear that I had was lifted. Yeah, I understand Jeremiah saying, but I'm a child. I'm going to do this. I get that. But how many of you know that God doesn't call the equipped? He equips the call. That's what I was taught by one of the ministers early on in my ministry walk, is that God doesn't look for the perfect person to do the job. You know, he'll take the weak to confound the strong.
Exactly.
He'll take the fool to confound the wise.
Exactly.
He'll take the most unlikely to do his will.
Come on.
That ought to encourage most of us, because most of us would admit, I'm not all of that, God. Some people might think that otherwise.
Yeah.
Most of them would say, I'm not all of that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to run this race perfectly. I don't know how to be everything you require me, God. Even Paul, one of my favorite ministers in the Bible, Paul says that he knows what to do, but he don't do it. And he knows what not to do, and that's the very thing he does. Cried out, oh, wicked man, who shall save me from this? It became clear that only God can. Only God can. So we got this prophet who is told that he's not a child. Keep on keeping on. Now let me give you a story I kind of thought of. It's not a true story, it's fictional, about a father walking with his two children. They're walking in the woods and they're going on this narrow path, and they get to a place where the path gets even more narrow. And the father yells out to the children, stop! One child freezes. The other one takes one more step and say, why? Then we have the one child that froze is sick. The one child that said, why, by taking the next step, and over the cliff down the hill. It's a crazy story, but I'm trying to illustrate a point with you that when God says do, some of us will question God, why? And I'm saying to you that following what God says do is the best thing for us to do. Right? So it gets to something I really want to put a pin in, and that is obedience is the perfect path to prosperity. Hang in there with me, and I'll illustrate to you why I believe that's the truth. Consider this. We find that as we continue to look at the prophet Jeremiah, we find that that God is giving him the instructions for what to do, and he's speaking to the children of Israel, and they're rebelling. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God's going to do. In fact, they wind up at some point throwing him in jail because they're just tired of what he has to say. Anybody ever been there? You feel like your family's put you in time out because they're tired of you talking about Jesus? Had enough of this person, and why you keep bringing them up all the time? You think you better than me?
My God.
Maybe you've never experienced that, but I've had that in some of my family members. Thank God, not my brother, not my mother, not those closest to me, but it's in there. So, but yet, Jeremiah continues to speak. Now, let's be real. Jeremiah's a man. He had his weak point. He wanted to quit. He wanted to stop. He didn't want to do it anymore. But there was something stirring in him that wouldn't let him leave. You know what that was? He said it was a fire donut in my bones. He wanted to stay, but he could not. He had to keep on pressing. Oh, that's what God will do. When God get a hold of you, my beloved, you could be a ball of fire. So we have Jeremiah had been ridiculed, he had been persecuted, tossed in jail, he was discouraged, and yet God said that he knows his plans for Jeremiah. You know, one of God's plans for Jeremiah was not defeat. No, that was not the expected end, but God knows not just Jeremiah's end, but he knows all of our end. Amen?
Amen.
So in Jeremiah 29:11, God says he knows the thoughts he thinks towards the repentant. He's talking to a bigger group of people. So God doesn't just know Jeremiah one person. He knows everybody collectively. So he's speaking to people, his thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give them an expected end. And if you're going to be on God's mind, wouldn't you want it to be favorable? If you're going to be on God's mind, you want God to be thinking good thoughts. Amen? So these are powerful reminders to the people, for God's people that turned back to God, but God had them on his mind. Even as saints received ridicule and the persecution and other hardships, still God had an expected end for them. So, my beloved, not just for them, but for us too. Let's pray that the end that God has in mind for us is a good end. So talk about this prosperity thing. Got to talk about that, because I call them prosperity pimps. I call them that because they know people want to do better. They know people want to thrive. They know that people want to excel, and they will offer to them glimmers of hope, but it requires something of you. You would make a donation to this ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
And you would give $2.22, the Lord's going to bless you in the year 2022. Yeah. Whatever it is that might be the magic phrase to convince you that you got to give to receive from God. That's amazing. Because I don't know what I gave to God when he offered me salvation. I thought that thing was free. Is it free, Deacon Jackson? Salvation is free? It was free to us, but it was costly to Jesus the Christ. Amen? So these preachers will say, they will cite that God loves a cheerful giver. They will tell you that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. That if you sow a sacrificial seed into this ministry or that cause, that God's going to bless you, huge and large. They make us believe that we got to give to God to get prosperity. Now, I don't often preach about giving, and I thank God I'm at a church that we don't tell people we want you to give, and we don't beat you over the head about giving. We trust that the God working in you will lead you as to what's the proper thing to do. One of the things I loved about my church. Prosperity preachers will teach you something different. They'll tell you that to get prosperity, gotta give. Gotta give. They think sacrificing is the way to prosperity. But I got news for them. The Bible spoke to this. It says that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the sliver of the passage is there. It says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." So ask you this question. Which is better? To give with the thought of getting from God, or to obey?
Obey.
See, when you give because of what you're trying to get from God, you got the wrong mind and the wrong attitude. Now, when God says he loves a cheerful giver, it's not one that's looking at how. If I give you $2, will you give me $4 in return? No, my beloved. We give out of the love that we have for God. It's an expression of the love we have for him.
That's the truth.
So obedience is better than sacrifice. It is far better to obey God's word than to reach deep into our pockets. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God cannot be bought. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't care how much wealth you think you have. The Bible tells me that he owns everything. He owns the whole world. So what are we doing? We reach in our pockets and give him back what he already owns? I don't know. Will you imagine this for a moment? Somebody walk up to you and they owe you some money and they reach into your wallet and they give you back the money that they say they owe you, but they're taking it out of your own wallet, your own pocketbook. Is there something wrong with that? No, this God that we love, this God that we have our hearts set on, he wants us to obey.
Obey.
The Bible says that at one point he got tired of the sacrifice that the people made. Mm-hmm. The bullocks and the oxen that they offered, it made God sick.
My Lord.
Because it was not real. It was not genuine. It was just a practice that they did, not a move of their heart that caused them to give. So let me give some more about prosperity, because I really want you to get this. Obedience is the best path to prosperity. This is what happened in Isaiah 25, verse 1. He's praying out to God. And he says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. I hear that the prophet Isaiah declared that thou art my God. You hear that? That's a declaration of allegiance to God. And then he goes on and says that he will exalt God. Why? Because God deserves to be exalted. He and he alone. And then he acknowledges that the prosperity or the wonderful things were because of God. By saying, thou hast done wonderful things, he means, God, you've done some remarkable acts in my life. I don't know. Maybe you've never had God do something remarkable in your life. You know it wasn't doctors. You know it wasn't luck. You know it wasn't just happenstance. But you knew it was a move of God that did something that you cannot deny, that something miraculous happened in your life. Now maybe you've never had that, my beloved, in your life, but if you keep living, you'll find that to be true. God isn't just blessing me. He's blessing each and every one of us in his own way. So he says the counsel of old, which means established a long time ago, God's counsel of old is both enduring and true. It's trustworthy and without error. For God says, you can take it to the bank, you can stake your life on what God says. Let me give you just a few more verses to talk about that obedience is the best path for prosperity. Consider Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where we read he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is God speaking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Listen now, he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see the condition? If you meditate on my word day and night, and you follow it, then you'll have these blessings that shall flow in your direction. I'm trying to tell you, obedience is the best path to prosperity. and doing what God instructs us to do, that's how we find now, the success, when we're doing what God says to do, it isn't just blessing us. Let me give you an example of how it blesses a bunch of other folks. Proverbs 20:7, it says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Hear that? The just man, that's one that's right with God. And if he walks upright and right with God, his children are blessed. Blessed. His children prosper. Prosperity. However, those of us that chase prosperity for selfish reasons find out something different. Those that hunger for wealth and power and fame and all of that may not get it. Recall the parable of the rich man and the poor man named Lazarus.
Yeah.
Bible tells us that in this parable that the rich man died rich, but he ended up poor. We find out that the poor man died poor, and he ended up rich.
Oh, yeah.
In the bosom of Abraham, and that he was able to experience the blessings of God, the poor man, and the rich man went to hell. My beloved, it's not how much money we have. It's the heart, what we carry in our heart that makes the difference. Recall the temptation of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible tells us that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. While there, one of the temptations that Satan came at Jesus was, he took him up to this high place and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this. And I love Jesus' response. Basically told him to get behind him, go away, get out my face. But he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him shalt thou serve. My beloved, again, it's about obedience. Satan tried to bribe Jesus and to buy Jesus. He tries to do that with us. He tries to dangle in front of us enticements, things to reach for. I remember the story. Young man, when I was in Texas, same scary. I hope one day God will put us back together again so I can find out the rest of this story. Mm-hmm. Terry was an interesting young man. He grew up in Chicago, and he got in a lot of trouble, and he moved from Chicago to Texas, Houston, to live with his uncle who was going to try to help him turn his life around. Terry was involved in a lot of bad stuff. Got down there, Terry, he was a mail deliverer, wasn't making much money, but he was working hard. One day he came to my office and started talking. We got on the subject of God, seemed interested. We kept talking. He kept coming. He was asking questions. He was hungry for something different and better in his life. Then I get this phone call one day, and it said, Dennis, have you heard about Terry? I'm like, what are you talking about? They said, Terry is being sought by the law. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's been said that he killed his parole officer's husband. He's on the lam. They're trying to find him. They're all points bulleted out. And I said, this don't make sense to me. Not the man that kept coming to my office that was hungry for God, and all of a sudden he's into this. I don't understand. Then I reflected back and I thought about a dream that Terry told me about. He told me about he was in this field, in a beautiful grassy field, and there was a tree off in the distance. As he was approaching the tree, he saw hanging from the tree a bag of money. And so he wanted to get the money, so he walked towards the tree. But when he went to reach for the bag of money, he said that a big snake started crawling down the tree. So he got scared and he turned to run, and Terry took off. And when he turned to run, this grassy field turned into a field of snakes. And I said to Terry, I don't claim to be able to interpret dreams, but all I can tell you is usually when you find a snake referenced in the Bible, it refers to Satan. So Terry, all I can say is that dream seems like to me is saying that something's going to entice you and you're going to reach for it. It is a warning for you to not do something. My beloved, I started to put those two things together. Herod was on the lam because I believe he was enticed to do something he wasn't supposed to. Now, kept telling my co-workers, I don't believe this about Terry. I don't think he did. I don't believe it. I find it hard to say that he did. Oh, Dennis, you're wrong. He had to have done it. Because the police are after him. My beloved, I tell you, I was sitting in my office one week, and I'm in Texas now. You gotta remember this. I'm in Texas. In Texas, they don't play. They will throw you under the jail and then build another jail on top of you just to keep you down. I'm in my office, I'm having a meeting, and I see this head poke past the door. Hey, Dennis, it was Terry just a few weeks later. And I'm like, see, I told y'all he didn't do it because there's no way they would have let him out of jail having killed this person. They would not have. But there he was a couple weeks outside my door. I couldn't stop the meeting and go find out what. And he just said, you were right. I should have listened to you about the dream. I'm going back to Chicago. I'm going to renew my relationship with my daughter, and I'm going to walk this path that I'm supposed to walk. And all I could think was praising God in the middle of this meeting. My beloved, why did I tell you that story? I tell you that story because God's way is always the best way. Always. When God sets before us a path, we should not question the path. We should walk, not be the one child to turn around and say, what? Why? Right? We should honor God by doing what God says do. I don't know. Wait a minute. What did Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
If you love me. He put that conditional. If you love me, this is how you can prove it. People say the Lord Jesus is. Jesus is. I give Jesus my whole heart. Then they walk out and do whatever they want to under the sun. Bring change to the glory of God's name. So, again, the best path to prosperity is what? Obedience. Obedience is the best path. So, let me kind of come to around the horn with this. Share with you this fictional story to illustrate the two kids that were with their dad. I talked with you about the prophet Jeremiah, who was commissioned at an early age, who thought he was ill-equipped for the job, and God said, I got you. Don't you worry about that. Don't you sweat that. I got you. And then I talked about Isaiah, who looked for a blessed prosperity from God by obeying God's command. And I talked to you about another passage that had to do with just doing what God says to do, and Joshua not letting the book of the law depart from his heart, that he would act upon the things that God would give him. And if he would do all of those things, then God would make his way. Now, I said a lot about prosperity, but I really didn't define it. What is prosperity? According to the Webster, Merriam-Webster, because these dictionary says, it's the condition of being successful or thriving, especially like economic well-being. My beloved, but I want to let you know, that seems like such a narrow definition. Because prosperity isn't just doing well economically. You could be doing well in your health. Be doing well in your clarity of thought. You can do well in terms of how your family is responding, your children are responding in this world. You can do well on lots of different fronts. It's not all about economics. And so when we think about the way that God blesses us, we got to expand our thinking and not think in terms of, well, we got a roof over our head, or we got food in the refrigerator, that's true. You know, God is continuing to fight my battles, that's true. But God is bigger than all of that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Yeah.
The Father lights in which there is no variableness. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. If you were to blow your hand, you'd probably feel it. That breath right there, that's from God. Your ability to articulate and move your body and to move back and forward, that's God. I look and marvel at Deacon Jackson. Deacon Jackson is in his 80s, and he just as spry as anybody wants to be.
Yeah.
I heard the testimony shared earlier about, as he talked about, they wanted to take his eye.
Yeah.
And they gave him an opportunity to speak up about that. And the doctor's like, you know, you're going to lose your sight. Let me take your eye. And he's like, He wasn't feeling that. He wasn't hearing that. Now, he probably sees better than I do because I have on glasses and he doesn't. And he's got both eyes. I remember going to a doctor because I had injured my a long, long time ago. And he was saying, you know, I think we're going to do surgery. We're going to do surgery. Yeah, I'm going to have to cut. Try to relieve the pressure on your spine. And that will help you. And I said, okay, that sounds serious. Yeah, but, you know, you'll be fine after that. I said, so can you tell me what's the potential for success on it? He said, well, 50-50. I said, I don't like those odds. What's my other choice? He said, well, we could try therapy, but I don't think it's going to work for you. I said, well, let's try therapy. Jackson, we tried therapy. We did it for 6 weeks. I came back to that doctor, and he said, how you doing? I said, I think I'm doing better, but I'm not quite there yet. I need just a little bit more time. He's like, well, let me examine you and check you out. So he had me stretch my arm out, because I couldn't do that without pain down my back. He had me stretch my arm out. He pushed it down on it. He's like, shake his head. Really? Okay, all right, we'll give you 2 more weeks. He was so sure I needed surgery. And so, as I was leaving off, he said, but I'm just going to let you know, well, you may not get surgery now, but this is what you need. So the sooner you get it, and your body's younger, that would be better for you than when you're old. So let's try the 2 weeks and see what happens. So I go to 2 weeks, and I'm telling you, I'm pushing, I'm pressing, I'm doing as hard as I can, because I'm fully restored. I go back to the specialist again. He checks me out. He's just shaking his head the whole time. Because he was convinced he had to cut on me. Like Deacon Jackson was saying, they wanted to take his eye. But I'm telling you, my beloved, when God says no, we need to say no. When God says yes, we need to say yes. God has all of that in control. So we talked about prosperity. So I want to tell you, my beloved, prosperity depends on trying to teach you that you can get more wealth. A husband. You can get all these special things. But I want to tell you something that they don't tell you. Can't take a spouse to heaven with you. Can't take your money with you. You can't take the boat, the car, whatever it is, your fine clothes, your jewelry. You can't take that to heaven with you. You know what you take to heaven with you? You take a record of your deeds done in this body. And you take your status, whether you saved or not. And if those things are proper, you enjoy more wealth in terms of prosperity than this world could ever offer. But if you miss the one on salvation, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Let me talk about if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you obeyed God, I want to talk to you about the benefits of that. One of the benefits of obeying God and being in His company forever is you get a new name. I don't know about you, but I didn't like the name of Dennis when I was growing up. Because everybody called me Dennis the Menace, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that name. I was going by my middle name. I was going by my uncle's name. I was just making up names because I didn't like it. But I'm going to get a new name in heaven.
All right.
Given to me by my God, and it's going to be unique. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a robe of righteousness. The glory of God because of my connection to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to crown of glory. I'm going to have no more pain and no more tears. Goodbye, arthritis and rheumatism. Goodbye, heartaches and pain and suffering. Goodbye. I'm going to have access to the tree of life. That means I get to go up and grab the fruit, the nectar of that fruit, and live forever.
Come on.
What? I get to have a heavenly residency. Now it won't be like the Ritz. It won't be like Trump Tower. It won't be like the Hyatt, or the penthouses that these places have. It won't even be like Buckingham Palace. I want to tell you that many of those places I've mentioned have some extraordinary views that you can see. Spectacular views, but none compare to the place that my Jesus has prepared for me.
Yes,
he said, in my Father's house, yes, many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes,
and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the place I want to wind up. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. God's plan is to prosper his children.
Yes, sir.
To do them no harm. To show them his love in powerful ways. And this plan that God has for us is more than riches. It's things that are placed in heaven that can't rust. And they can't be stolen. They can't be taken away. So I end you with this question of you. What is the best path? Prosperity. I'm looking for an answer.
Obedience.
What?
Obedience.
Obedience is the best path to prosperity. Obey God and prosper forever and ever and ever. Now, I told you the theme today was end well. You may not have done much obeying lately. Today is a new day.
Yes, sir.
New opportunity that lies before us to fix some stuff, to turn things in the right direction. Don't let today pass without dealing with that. It's not how you start the race, how you finish the race that matters the most. And I tell you, my beloved, best path to prosperity is that straight path to obedience. And if you do that, you will finish strong.
Amen.
You will end well.
Amen.
Would you give God some glory for the Lord?